Chapter 4. A Fight in the Street. At a little before 7 o'clock that evening, we arrived in the district of St. John's Wood. That district of London is not far from Baker Street, and we arrived on foot. Holmes was disguised as a clergyman. He could have been a fine actor if he had not become a detective. As we walked towards Bryony Lodge, he told me his plan. "I'm sure that the photograph is hidden in a secret place in the house," he said. "It's too large for Irene Adler to carry it with her everywhere. But the king's servants couldn't find it when they broke in. It must be very cleverly hidden. The woman has two reasons to hide it now. She wants to keep it safe so that she can blackmail the king. But she doesn't want a new husband to know about it either."
"How will you find it then, Holmes?" I asked. "She won't tell you where it is, even if she thinks you are an innocent clergyman."
"It's simple. I'll make her show me where it is, Watson," he replied.
"But how will you do that?" I said.
"I understand the minds of women like Irene Adler," he replied. "If a married woman's house catches fire, the first thing that she will try to save is her baby. If a rich, unmarried woman's house catches fire, she will probably try to save her jewels first. But Irene Adler will want to save the thing that gives her power. I believe that the photograph is the first thing that she will try to save if her house catches fire. So we'll make her think that it has caught fire. I'll get into the house in the way that I've planned. You'll throw the smoke bomb. When your bomb starts to release smoke, shout, 'Fire! The house is burning!' Then walk quickly to the corner of the street and wait for me. I'll join you there after 10 minutes. When you shout, some other people in the street will start to shout too," Holmes went on. "I shall be watching Irene Adler carefully. I hope that she will give away her secret. Do you remember Jonas Oldacre, the Norwood builder, Watson? A fire that we started made him give away his secret, didn't it?" We stopped about 100 yards away from Bryony Lodge. There were already several men near the house. Holmes said, "Ah, there are my friends. You must stay here for now, Watson." And he walked on towards them. Two of the men were soldiers. Two were rich young men in expensive clothes who were calling to a pretty young woman on the other side of the street. Some other shabby men were doing nothing at all. They were just looking at the sky. Then, as I watched, something very strange happened. As Holmes reached the house, a small carriage approached and stopped in front of it. A very beautiful woman got out of it. At that moment, a fight broke out between two of the men in the street. Soon, all the others joined in, and the woman from the carriage was caught in the middle of the fight. But there was something unreal about the scene. I felt as if I was watching a play. And then Holmes tried to interfere in the fight, trying to protect the woman. In a moment, all the men started to attack Holmes instead of each other. He shouted for help, but I did not interfere. He quickly fell to the ground, and I saw blood on his face. Then suddenly all the men ran away. At the same time, the woman and her driver went to help Holmes.
"Will you get me some water, please?"
Holmes said to the woman in a weak voice.
"Please come into my house," she replied. "You must lie down until you feel better."
As they entered the house, I moved carefully towards the left-hand window. 5 minutes later, I saw a servant open it. I saw Holmes inside the room. He raised his hand, and then he moved quickly away from the open window. I threw the smoke bomb through the window, and I shouted, "Fire! Fire! The house is burning!" As I ran towards the corner, the street filled with people again. They were shouting too. When Holmes joined me 10 minutes later, he was smiling.
"Well, I know where the photograph is now," he said.
"What happened?" I asked. "Tell me everything, Holmes."
"All the men in the street were actors, of course," he went on. "I paid them earlier this afternoon and told them what to do. The blood on my face came from the theatre too. It wasn't real. When Mrs. Norton and her driver got me inside the house, I lay on a sofa in the sitting room. Mrs. Norton went to get me some water, and I asked a servant to open the window. You threw the bomb and shouted, and the woman hurried back into the room. She ran to a corner where the wall was made of wooden panels. There's a secret cupboard behind a wooden panel there, disguised as part of the wall. She opened it and began to take something out. Then she saw the smoke bomb, and she quickly put the thing back and closed the panel. She left the room quickly, without speaking, and I left the house. A driver was watching me, so I didn't steal the photograph. As we walked home, Holmes told me the rest of his plan. "I'll send the king a message tonight," he said. "Tomorrow morning we'll call at Bryony Lodge with the king. We'll arrive early before Mrs. Norton has got dressed. The servants will tell us to wait in the sitting room until she is ready to see us. We'll open the secret panel and take the photograph. I hope we won't see the lady at all. If we do, we'll give her a problem. We'll say that we'll tell her husband what we know about her if she tries to make trouble." It seemed like a good plan. We were pleased with our day's work when we reached Baker Street. But one strange thing happened that evening. When we arrived at Holmes's door, a slim young man passed us in the street.
"Good night, Mr. Sherlock Holmes," he said quietly.
Then he walked quickly away. "Who was that?" said Holmes. "I'm sure I've heard that voice before."